Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Burntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Stephanie Megan, you're listening to Broke Girl Therapy.
And stuff like that.
Okay, we'll just talk about that and then go into whatever.
Okay, we'll just
talk.
We'll start one way and then we'll go.
Yeah. We have so, we were just like talking. We're like, we need to like start just this. So we're just going to start it.
Turn it on.
All right. Hi, guys. It's me, Stephanie Megan, your host of Broke Girl Therapy. I guess I'm like, oh, bitch. We got Rachel back in the motherfucking building, bitch.
Here I am.
Rachel, motherfucking W.
So happy to be back.
I just want to continue a conversation.
I know. Okay. So that got that over the way.
So yeah, we were like just talking and we were like, wait, let's just like start recording. So anyways, I have this fantasy where I want to see my boyfriend fuck another chick.
Same.
In front of me. Why are we like this?
I don't know. It's like for me, there's a few different parts to it.
Okay.
There's the number one of like, I want him to feel empowered. Like I want him to also come to a relationship where we're not in an open relationship, but I don't want him to feel like we're not in an open relationship in the sense of like feeling trapped.
Right.
So there's,
I get that.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like I'm not in a place where I want us to see other people by any means, but under the construct of like us having a conversation and doing it as a thing together.
Yeah.
That I love because I feel like that lets us feel a little more liberated and like not tied down.
I feel like no one ever talks about that. Like there's always that traditional mindset of just like, well, you're in a relationship, it's just you guys. Or it's the complete opposite where it's your open relationship and you could fuck anybody, but it's just like there is that kind of like, well, I don't want you to like just fuck anybody, or I don't want you to like just date, or, you know, just go around dating and acting like you're single. But there is that kind of part where like, I want to see like a chick ride your dick.
Yeah. Well, I feel
like, why is that sexy to us?
I
thought I was alone. And when I said that and you agreed, I was like, I felt so good. Cause I'm like, yo, I like,
no, that is my like, that's what I think about when I'm doing
me too. When I'm fucking my boyfriend, I'm like, I can't wait to see him fuck someone else.
Yeah. I want to do it together, but then there's a big part of me that's like, I just want to like sit in the creepy corner chair and just watch.
Yes, me too.
Because it's like, again, I go back to like, I want him to feel a little empowered, not only from like a perspective of not feeling like contained in a relationship, but also empowered of like, I still fucking got it. Cause he's got it.
Right.
He's got it. A lot of it. And it's like, it's also great to think like, oh, that's mine.
Right.
I get that all the time and that loves me, but I want that to like also enjoy.
Yeah. Life. Cause like exactly where it's like, I'm not like, I know that you're obviously attracted to other women. It's like, you know, like thinking like my boy, like he's not going to only just be attracted to me. Like he's definitely going to like enjoy another girl. And I rather a guy like him do it with me there or watching versus like going behind my back or something.
Well, don't get me wrong. I'm not going to be out here acting like a hoe that like doesn't care or
like
is not
jealous.
Don't
just try to like fuck my boyfriend or anything like that. Like don't try to like,
Or like when we're in the street and I see him like check out a girl's ass, like walking by, I'm going to clock him and be like, I fucking saw that. You know what I mean? Have that part to me.
Oh,
like,
okay. I don't care. I'm like,
I don't fully care. It's just for me, it's like, be a little bit more discreet kind of thing.
Right.
But that's as far as like the actual jealousy goes, because I think it's not me involved in the problem. It's not like we're both checking her out, like high-fiving each other.
Yeah,
it's like it feels more secretive instead of it being like a,
because I think that's when cheating like becomes like an issue, is when it becomes more of a secret. But then like when you kind of accept it, like, oh, like my man is human, he's going to enjoy other things. But then, like, I kind of enjoy the woman's body as well. Like, I don't really, like, claim to be anything. I don't know. But, like, of course, like, I think every woman has a little side of them where we're all attracted to other women. Like, we've been attracted to women. Well,
women are just sexy.
Women are sexy. Like, we're beautiful.
Men are just, like, there for, like, functional reasons. And we are, like, beautiful.
Yeah. Women are, like, we were even just saying, just even, this is not a woman, but my cat is a girl.
Oh.
And, like, you were just saying, you're like, this is really weird to say, but your cat is, like, super sexy.
She is. She's so, can we bring her on the pod? She's somewhere.
I don't know where she is.
She's hot as fuck. She knows it. She, like, carries herself in a very, like,
how sexual women,
feline way.
Exactly. Just how women do, we have this kind of, like, feline, this way that we move, that's something, like, it's just, like, so beautiful. Like, as a woman, I don't date women, but I see other women, and sometimes I'm like, damn.
Always.
Yeah. So it's like, I would enjoy, you know, seeing a female body outside of mine, enjoying my man.
Totally. I think there's definitely a middle ground that people don't really talk about or, like, utilize between being in a monogamous relationship and a polyamorous relationship.
Yeah.
Because I am the least judgmental person when it comes to, like, anything sexual or relationships. Like, I love learning about polyamory. Yeah.
I want to get someone who's, like, poly on the show.
You should.
Do you know anybody?
I know a few. Yeah.
Will they come on the pod?
I don't know. I'll talk to them.
Talk to them.
Yeah.
Who are they?
We'll talk about it later.
Okay.
I don't know a few. I maybe, like, know one. Yeah. But I'm fascinated by it because that honestly sounds like the dream, to be in a relationship where there's zero jealousy. Although the documentaries and the articles I've read about it, like, there's always jealousy in it. It's just being able to, like, recognize what it is, which I think you have a lot of self-awareness and emotional maturity to be able to hold a polyamorous relationship if done the right and respectful way. So that's why I kind of idolize it, but I don't know if I
am capable of that.
Maybe. I don't know if I'm emotionally capable. Sexually, for sure. But, like, Chris, when we first met, we literally, this was, like, maybe the fifth time us hanging out. We went to a Friendsgiving together. And I had just gotten back from Bali. I was, like, kind of sick. We're, like, sitting on the couch the whole time. And then we all started playing this game, Most Likely To, and I never played it. Have you ever played that before?
Yeah, like, Most Likely To.
And then everyone closes their eyes and points at someone.
Oh, no, I guess I'm never like that. I don't know. Maybe it's just, like, in the yearbooks.
I don't know.
Most Like To Win a Grammy. I don't know.
Something like that. But this is at a party where, like, everyone's there and someone says Most Likely To, and everyone closes their eyes and points. And then you open your eyes and, like, see if some.
Ooh,
like,
oh my God, that's hilarious.
And someone said, it's kind of, I know, it was fun. It was the first and last time I ever played. Haven't played it since, but someone said Most Likely To Be a Swinger, and we closed our eyes and half the room pointed at Chris and half of the room pointed at me. And I maybe knew, like, seven people there.
I would honestly, I get it.
I get it.
I get the swingers thing. I get it.
I get it.
I get it.
I'm ready for it. I'm not ready for it, but I just think that
I feel like you would definitely be a swinger.
Oh, I already
respectfully
know. I already know. Absolutely.
Yeah,
we are in this dilemma though of, like, we don't want to do it yet because we're like, we're 3 years in, we love each other, we're like good. We're good with what we have right now. But I think it's a really good tool to use when, I don't know, I've never been in a super long-term relationship where I've aged and whatever, but I would only assume it just helps keep things spicy.
Yeah.
There's only so many times you can use a vibrator until
you're just like bored.
You're numb of it. Yeah. Right. You need to, then you move, you keep going.
Right.
So it's like,
honestly, even like the same person, like, you kind of, at one point you're going to get kind of like,
that's what I would assume. That's where I'm saying, like, we're not there yet, but I would only assume by human nature, not through the, like, eyes of our relationship or our love for each other, but by human nature, we're going to want to. That sounds scary and horrible, to be honest, to think about only having sex with one person.
That
for
does
the rest.
Sound horrible.
Because I am very confident and, like, comfortable in my relationship. And I see a very long future with it.
Right.
So then thinking about, like, I'm never going to get to, like, experience that again is scary. And I guarantee you he feels that, any human feels that way.
Right. It's scary because it's like, I get it because like now I'm in a relationship and I can relate to stuff like this. Mm-hmm. But like I'm obviously in a very new relationship. So we're like in the honeymoon phase. But there is that kind of fear of like, what if like one day I am like attracted to someone, you know, like, and I'm like curious about that. Like, is that going to be a problem, you know? But I never in my life ever see myself cheating.
No, never. Yeah.
But like, I know that like there could be one day, there could be some sort of curiosity. And yeah. If it's like, even if it's like towards a woman, like I even talked to, I was like, look, like I would love to like share a girl with you. Like I would love to like have a threesome, or like, what if I even just like hooked up with a girl on my own? He was like, yeah, as long as, you know, y'all aren't dating,
yeah,
you know, and like doing it all the time, that's fine. He's like, but I wouldn't mind if you wanted to hook up with the girl, you know, like that's on you. And there is that part of me that's like, I'm curious, like there's yeah. like, and not that there's really anyone in particular that I want to hook up with right now, but I'm sure, what if there is someone that's like, damn, I'm down, you know, and to like have that kind of like validation of like, okay, I'm able to still be in this relationship but still explore my sexuality.
Well, that's what I think makes, that's my opinion of what makes yeah. a long lasting relationship.
Because I see myself with my Chris and yeah. you see yourself with your Chris.
Our Chris. Yeah. Well, that's my whole point is like, I
hate
think
how
I
table is like fucking usually doesn't wobbling. Do that. Yeah.
I see myself with him for sure, which I think yeah. is why I fantasize about him with other women, is because I think it's beautiful when two people can come together and truly trust each other.
Right.
This dog, he wants to have a threesome too. Truly trust each other. Yeah. That's like the most beautiful thing that you can have between two people, to be able to like still feel fulfilled in your like sexual journey throughout life. Because right. I'm turning 28 like next month, and it's, or in 2 months, but like, it's scary to think if I am with him forever, which I would love and plan to at this moment, that's just the end of my like sexual
right,
experience.
Exactly.
In
like
life.
That's yeah.
That seems really
that's
like
crazy.
Sad
you're right.
to me.
You're very
but
right.
that's my opinion. I understand there's a lot of people out there who are not down for that, who prefer
and
monogamy.
Respectfully, that's fine too.
Totally. I don't
but
judge
I think,
anyone.
But I think that like people really talk about like, well, it doesn't have to feel like it's the end,
mm-hmm.
you know? And I think when you finally, because before Chris, I almost said his real name, before Chris, I used to think like, oh, I would never, ever think of this type of scenario.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because I was in relationships like
where
Morgan,
trust.
Where I didn't trust them because mm-hmm. I know that they do that shit behind my back.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like the fact of you just thinking of another woman, I'm like, I don't even want you to do that because I know that you would lie to me, cheat on me and do all the things. But with Chris, I'm like, whoa, like I fully trust you and I know you love me to the core and it's not just about sex and, you know, we have great sex, but like, I love that. Like, yeah. And now I'm like, okay, once you like have that trust, it kind of like opens you up to like this kind of, you know, exploration that you just never really like.
Because you know what that is?
What?
That is the self-love in its purest form.
That's true.
And I know we all as women, and when we give advice, we all love to say like, you need to love yourself before you're with someone
advice,
because then
true.
You can't love anyone else. But fucking, I gotta just, I'm over it because I have never felt more love for myself being with my boyfriend.
Yeah.
The way he looks at me, the way throughout the day, multiple times a day, he's walking through, you know, it's COVID, so we're like on top of each other all day long. My God, you're so fucking beautiful. You look like I get that
aww.
All day. I get, I love you. I love aww. You all day long. And it's just beautiful.
Right.
And I don't think I've felt as confident as I do. And it somehow, I mean, he's doing it all day long. So it's bound to happen at a moment of like weakness for me. But like, I'll be looking in the mirror complaining about a pimple or
the way you look,
whatever insecurity yeah. I'm dealing with at the moment. And he says that, and it's like, wow, someone isn't seeing this. It helps. And
it does help. Yeah, it does.
You definitely have to have self-love, but a gosh damn darn good relationship can totally build your confidence.
Oh yeah.
And I think then that allows you to then comfortably like want to explore your sexuality And that to me is like what I look for in a relationship.
Yeah.
I think that's where the key to like longevity is, because I don't want to be in a box, but I also don't want to be in an open relationship at this moment. I agree. It's like there's this middle ground that no one talks about. I don't think I
could be in an open, necessarily open relationship, because that means there could be like other feelings for other people. Like the feelings get messy, but it's just like, but I'm open to sexually. I mean, I don't think I'm ready for that moment. We're still in the early stages.
Mm-hmm.
And plus, there isn't anyone that I necessarily have an eye on. But like, I just know at one point there is going to be like, I'm open to that. And if there is someone that we're both like interested in, mainly if I'm interested.
Truly. It's all on you.
Then like, I'm down, you know, or even like, I don't know if he's like into the whole swingers situation, but I think I'd be like interested in that. Okay, so let me share a tale as old as time, and I'm sure you guys would relate. I'm pretty sure. So I had a friend who recently ended up on a date with a guy who showed her pictures of his ex during dinner. Yeah, you heard it right. Pictures of him and his ex. And then I had another friend who matched with a guy and spent an evening chatting about dogs and travels, only to get his dick pic out of the blue. We've all been there, right? Swiping through a sea of potential matches, only to find ourselves in a shipwreck of weirdos and dating disasters. It may sound funny, but let's talk real talk. The constant letdowns, bizarre encounters, and endless ghosting can seriously mess with your head. Mental health is no joke when it comes to dating. And that's where Floor comes to change the narrative. The best thing about the Floor app is it's not just another dating app. It's a sanctuary for sanity in a crazy world of dating. Imagine a place where you can be yourself and connections are made without the drama. You can now say goodbye to the mind games and hello to the meaningful conversations. At Floor, they're all about empowering you to take control. A woman chooses who to talk to and how. There's a safe mode in all chats that doesn't allow dirty talk or explicit pics, and only a woman can turn it off, only when she's ready. The worst part about dating is how redundant conversations could feel, and I feel your pain on that. But what I love about this app is that there's several games in the app to help break the ice. That way it can help you navigate the conversation and it doesn't feel redundant. So if you're tired of the dating app circus affecting your mental health, I strongly advise you to try the Floor app. It's a journey of self-discovery, laughter, and meeting fantastic people who won't make you question your life choices. Download the Floor app right now, F-L-U-R-E, and spend a night chatting. And I hope you have a great time and find your perfect match. I don't know. Like, I just feel like, but I do like the feeling of like, okay, I'm not being put in a box. But it's weird. Like, I don't really fantasize about like fucking other guys. Like, I'm okay. I'm very, very happily satisfied with a dick that is provided for me through Chris. But it's just like, but I fantasize about women. And it's just like, you know. And but I also feel bad because I don't mean to like sexualize them as well too, but I'm just like, I guess there is that side of me that's like, that's what I want to do with my partners to have that like other girl or whatever, or see him fuck another girl. Like, I don't ever think of like another guy. It's always like me with a girl or him fucking a girl and I'm watching and I'm joining.
Same. And I think it's extremely, beautiful, but also you're really lucky to be in a situation where you guys are already having these conversations early on and you're on the same page about it.
Yeah.
Because again, if you're someone who wants to have that page open, that book that you have no idea where it's going to go, but having the freedom to literally do whatever with it later on in life.
Exactly.
Just you need like, to have those conversations now, because if you get to that and you're like, now I want this, like that's.
And I just don't like the feeling of like, oh, this is what I'm stuck with forever. And not that I feel like, oh, I'm just stuck with this, but it's just kind of like the feeling of like, I think we're both just like very adventurous people.
Yeah.
So like having that kind of option of like, oh, like there could be a time to explore if mm-hmm. there's ever, you know, you ever come across it. Like, mm-hmm. I love that feeling. I don't like the feeling of feeling trapped, like you said, like being in a box. It feels good to be like having that as an option. You're like
in a monogamous box.
Yeah.
And that's a little scary, but
right.
I do want the emotional monogamy.
Oh yeah, for sure. Don't be like fucking having feelings some other bitch.
See, that's why Chris. I envy and I you hear that?
Just saying.
But that's why I idolize and I'm really intrigued by polyamorous because I think it truly takes a high level of emotional maturity and intelligence to be able to like recognize jealousy and to share someone with somebody else and also to have enough of yourself to give to multiple people.
Yeah, that's the part that's hard. I'm exhausted
giving it to one.
Exactly. Like, I'm exhausted giving it to myself.
Yeah.
Like, let alone, like, having, like, three other people to be in a relationship with. Like, I'm very curious. Whoever you're friends with that is polyamorous, if you're polyamorous and you're listening to the show, like, I come on the pod.
I'll let you know.
Yeah. But, like, anyways.
It's very interesting.
I don't even know what the topic is for this episode. We were going to talk about losing your virginity, and then we just...
Yeah, we had a whole other topic in mind.
Oh, we had the whole being in a relationship, sex versus hookups.
Yeah, we're kind of there now.
We're kind of there, so let's just talk about hookups. Okay. Like, what do you think is the difference between... Like, I mean, we know there's obviously a difference with feelings and everything like that, but, like, is there, like, what's that... When you were, like, a hoe and going through your hoe phase, like, how was your sex, like, then versus now?
Chaotic. Like chaotic, not safe, like
yeah.
But exciting, yeah. New, fresh, like very I learned a lot about myself. I learned a lot about what I like. I learned a lot about what I don't like. I learned a lot about what I tried to run from.
Did you have using like sex. Friends with did you ever have like a friends with benefits?
Oh yeah, I had one for like the same one for like years.
Oh really?
Yeah, and it ended because I tried calling one night, which we did almost every weekend.
You were the type, you like, wait, continue, because you were the type of person that loved to drunk call.
Oh my God, I'm so happy those days are behind me, and I guarantee you half of the LA men population are so glad it's behind me too. I was horrible. I mean, I would get really drunk though, like I don't drink as much anymore, right, so now right. I can recognize that was like
the early 20s.
Totally.
We're all a fucking mess.
A mess. And I would just dial. I can't think about it, honestly. It's really embarrassing.
I used to do that, too. Like, I would just, like, okay, like, met a guy at a bar and, like, was kind of talking to him, Carrie. And, like, I just, like, saying their names.
Shout out.
And, like, I would be like, oh, I like him. And then just, like, call him a bunch of times.
And then they wouldn't answer. But then one time they would.
But then like kind of be weird about it. Or just like, okay.
Mine wouldn't mostly. But then at some point they'd call me. Probably because they knew I was down or whatever. I don't know. It was embarrassing. But times. I did have a friends with benefits for maybe like almost a full year or a year and a half. Where it was just almost every weekend. It was wow. nice.
Almost every weekend for a year and a half. That's some good, consistent dick. That's like the perfect. I mean, I would definitely have had feelings, but like if I didn't have feelings, that would have been the perfect.
I did not situation. Have a single. There was not a How single feeling to have. Because he was the worst. Like he was so annoying. And like thinking about like hanging out with him
right.
was. I mean, we would hang out. There were times we'd go get drinks with like friends or like the next day we'd like, you know. Get breakfast or something.
Right.
But no, it was most of the time he was like, I don't want to bring him around my friends like that. He's extremely embarrassing and like, really? Not. Yeah, it was just.
How'd you meet him?
At a bar.
Oh my God.
Met him at a bar. I did the eye
was
thing.
Was the sex good? I was just like, it was just like.
Yeah. Just, I think I definitely liked
like. Like, how are you able to have sex with someone you thought it was annoying? Like, I'm just like, I don't know. Like, if someone really irritates me, like, I'm like, my vagina is like closed for business. Like, I'm just such a like feelings type of bitch. Like, I wish I was like that. Cause everyone would be like, yo, just fuck someone that you can't see yourself with. I'm like, well, if I can't see myself with you, why am I? Like, I was always trying to be a good hoe.
Yeah.
And I wish I was, but I didn't use my hoe phase wisely. Anyways, continue.
I think I could maybe I don't know if I'd call it like turning it off, but I am really good at seeing people for who they are. Like,
okay,
seeing the good in people. I'm an empath, so I feel things, and I can also have relationships with people and recognize like that person. Mm. I appreciate them for who they are, but they're not going to get along. I know what this person is.
Right.
And I love this person, but those two people don't mesh. But also, I can like, love them.
Like when you're meshing group of friends, I'm pretty good at that too.
Yeah. Like, I can love them respectively, but right. like know that they're not going to like vibe. And okay. that was kind of him. Like we, even though he was annoying, we definitely obviously had like some sort of friend connection.
Right.
And we would like have sex. Yeah. But I think we probably used each other for like the companionship of like somewhat of a consistent thing, but right. neither of us ever wanted to go like there, but right. we would laugh. Like we'd have fun. Now? Well, the last it ended because I tried calling one weekend and his girlfriend answered. So,
yeah. You got a girlfriend?
Yeah, like so quick too, which means he probably was like still having sex yeah. with me until he found her, I got serious. But I totally respected it. I was like, yeah. okay, so he's done with. I actually haven't thought about him since. Like, I truly did not.
I want to see a picture.
I don't even know. I don't have him on like anything. Really? I only know his first name.
You don't know his last name or where he works no. or where he lives? What?
No, I don't know any of that. I picked him up from his house a few times. So I know he like lives up in the valley.
Give me his phone number. I'll find it.
I don't even have it anymore. Yeah, I know. I should try and.
Yeah, yeah.
His name was Michael. That's all I know.
Well, there's like a million Michaels.
I know.
You got a girlfriend. The girlfriend listens to the show. She's like. It's two together.
I don't think he followed. I don't think she's like, ever my boyfriend's annoying.
I remember this girl calling me.
She's all, his name is Michael.
His name is Michael.
Things are adding up. Sorry.
Yeah.
No, I was totally, that was like, okay, this is our time to split. It had been a while.
That's a minute. Crazy.
But I think I had a few of those. Just
yeah,
the late night friends.
But like, call them. When you had sex with them, how is it like versus having sex with your boyfriend now?
Because
versus like, oh, the feelings, the passion, like what's, are you just more comfortable? Like, are you?
I know it's such a question and I have such an answer that's hard to find like a way to articulate it correctly, yeah. but the answer's there. It's so different because when I'm with my partner, there's this like extreme level of intimacy. We've yeah. talked about this before. There's an extreme level of intimacy because we really, really love each other right. that it's kind of hard. He's said, at least for me, it's hard for him to have sex with me in the ways that he would have sex with the girls before. Because he had a hoe phase too.
Oh my God. Let's talk to him. Let's bring him on the pod. And talk. Yeah. Can we talk about his hoe phase? Can I bring him on the show and talk about his hoe phase?
Oh my God. Totally.
Can we do that?
He would be extremely offensive.
I mean, I feel like he looks like he would be.
He has zero filter.
I feel like that's the thing. I can tell like he has no filter. It's really offensive, but I'm really down. That's okay.
Yeah. He'd be interesting. We'd have to like put a little like warning.
Wait, I'm actually down.
It would be fun.
Okay. I'd be like, tell me about your... Wait, I know, because I need more men on the show.
Yeah.
And I need more men who are really open about, you know, like this, their sex lives or whatever. Mm-hmm. And like... So he'd be down to talk about like the girls he's hooked up with before. And you'd be
I'd have to. Oh, I don't care at all. I'm like, tell me more. I'm always wanting to talk about it. Yeah. And he's like, I don't feel comfortable. Like,
what was it like? Did they ride a dick like me? Like, I want to know.
Oh my God. The other day I was like, how many girls have you had sex with fake boobs? Like, I want to know. And he was like, I don't want to talk about this. And I was like, boobs? Yeah.
Hit him up like when you go home.
Later I will. And I'll ask him.
Do you want to go on the pod?
I know. I'm curious to actually know if he would or not. But he also had his own like set of hope. That's why I think we were like great to meet when we did. We both had our own past. We're both like into the same things. We're both open to like.
You guys have the same sense of humor.
Same sense of humor.
I love that you call him Christina.
Christina. He is so obnoxious, but, and he's extremely offensive. So I take no ownership of anything that comes out of his mouth.
Kind of okay with that. Like, I kind of want him to come on here and just be completely himself.
Oh my God. I always.
Like, I might get mad at certain things.
That's what I'm trying to say. You might get mad.
But, you know, I think it makes a great show.
You just have to let it roll off, and yeah, you can't let him.
I think I'm kind of good at just kind of playing it off or just being like, that was fucked up, but like, I'm gonna tell you why. But
you know why he does it? First of all, he's from Boston, but also he wants the attention. So like, if you give like him that, yeah, it's the little brother thing. Like if you give him the reaction.
I feel
reaction,
like I can vibe with him. I feel it in my like energy right now. Yeah. I could vibe with your boyfriend on the show.
I think so.
Where like it could be a good banter because I'd be like, you're kind of ridiculous, but continue.
Totally. Well, I mean, we talk shit to each other all day long. Like yeah. I tell him he's fat. Like we,
oh my God.
We talk, but it's just, yeah, we don't care because we don't take anything that either of us says seriously. So right. I'm way more sensitive. So I yeah. definitely do, you know, but he doesn't at all. He is like, no,
right,
whatever. And so we've actually had people be like, are you guys okay? Like, do you guys need to break up? Or do you guys even like each other? Guy,
yeah, exactly.
But we definitely do. We're like very in love. It's just our dynamic is just like playful.
Right.
Very, very playful. But he definitely had a hoe phase. And he's said before to me that because I want him to have sex with me like those girls. Like I want to have.
You're like, I want to experience like the whole Chris.
Yes. I want to experience that.
By the way,
that.
Her boyfriend's name is Chris. If you guys know, like, yeah.
Yeah. I want to experience that. I also want to, I like want to know more about just him, his experiences.
Like slutty Chris. You want to yeah. know more about slutty Chris.
I just
Chris.
Feel like there's this other side of him because I get like extremely respectful. I'm so obsessed with you, Chris. And it's like, but and I have no complaints, zero, in our bedroom. However, it's totally different than what I would have with strangers. And it's totally different than him. And he's explained to me that it's hard with how much intimacy we share and how much respect he has for me. He doesn't want to, like, degrade me in the – which says something to who he was before. But he doesn't
want – like, damn, what was he
yeah,
doing?
Not degrade, but he doesn't want to treat me in – because he's like, I didn't love them. I didn't like them.
Like, it was just like, oh, this – yeah.
They were – he was a fuckboy. That's what he was. He was truly a fuckboy and no shade to it, but he treated women the way the fuckboys do.
Right.
And now he's with someone that he, like, says loves. He loves and really feels, like, respect for, and he's like, it's hard to turn that off. Because I feel like you don't deserve that. But I'm like, but I want it.
You're like, disrespect me a little bit.
Yeah,
shit.
Just a little bit. Yeah. And then in the morning, like, I'll slap you for whatever you said wrong. You know, like.
But I like when they say some, like, fucked up shit to me in bed. Like, I like when he, like, Chris.
Beep it.
I don't have to beep it. I like when Chris, like, just tells me, like, the, like, just the really, like, nasty I don't know, like I like when it just gets kind of disrespectful. At first it's gotta have to be like passionate, respectful, and sweet, and then like you get to like the point in the session where it just gets like rah.
I always
like that shit.
I always tell Chris, I'm like, fuck me like your favorite porn star. Like that's what I want.
Yeah, yeah.
I just want like I just want the rawness. I want it to be fun. And I don't get me wrong.
I want you to make me feel like the sexiest bitch you've ever fucked.
I want you
like,
to pick
I
me up at the
shit.
Bar, pick me out of a pool of girls, and not call me the next day. I want you to not know my last name. Like, that's what I want.
Isn't that so fucked up? Because I'm going to, like, dive into, like, the therapy aspect of it.
Yeah.
This is
oh, there's
therapy.
Definitely some shit behind
yeah,
that.
Yeah, because there is, like, this. So beginning of my relationship with Chris, I remember I had a therapy session where I was like, I knew I really liked Chris, but like a part of me was like wanting to be disrespected. And like, not like sexually, but like in a way where it's like, I wanted him to be meaner to me. And so.
Because that's what you were used to.
That's what I was used to. And like, I think. You know, we used to kind of take that, those like fuck boys and like think that was like, you know, we all are like really into like the bad boys, the fuck boys, you know, like something about that is like sexy.
Totally.
And then so now that we have someone who like loves us and don't get me wrong, like I appreciate the love and respect that Chris gives me and I would never take it for granted. But there is that part where it's like, fuck me like a fuck boy, bro.
Well, especially at the beginning, it's kind of hard to get yourself. for me, when someone showed they cared too much or they liked me too much, I always ran. I was like, ew.
Yeah.
But I always craved it. You know right. what I mean? I always you was always like.
You wanted it. But then when you had it, you're just like.
This weak man, he has feelings. Like what? And which is horrible. But it's what society yeah. has kind of groomed women to be in this misogynist world that we're in of like. You know, men have also seen hardships throughout society, making them suppress feelings. Don't cry. Right. Be a man. Man up. Like, it doesn't.
Big size.
It, exactly. Yeah. It doesn't. We want it to stop, but it doesn't. So, like, we have to recognize that. And it's also impacted how we feel. Exactly. We see men cry, show feelings, we're like, whatever.
What? No, you're supposed to be this masculine.
You're taken aback because right. you're like, I've never seen this before.
That's so true.
So there's definitely like shit to unpack from like why we feel this way.
Right.
I think a lot of it for me just comes from like wanting to keep things like spicy and fun because now we're at 3 years and like.
I can't believe it's been 3 years. I remember when you guys first started dating.
That's crazy.
And I've never even met him.
I that's even crazier. I've actually
never met him.
That's even crazy. We'll have to change that for sure.
He's coming on the pod.
Okay.
I'll come over. I'll bring my equipment.
Yeah, just say it's happening.
Yeah.
It's happening.
I'll just show up.
You have no choice. Okay. I think he'd want a platform. I think he would. Because he keeps getting kicked off Twitter.
You get what?
He gets kicked off Twitter like twice a week. Because he's a troll. He loves to troll Trump supporters. He loves to like troll. Okay. He infiltrates himself into these like conservative groups and then he just trolls the fuck out of them. And then they like all report him and get him kicked off Twitter.
That's actually kind of incredible.
I know. He like.
And a lot of work.
He has. It's a lot of. I never. He's always on that goddamn phone. I'm like, put it down.
He's like, I'm trolling Trump.
He's like put up posts on Instagram and stuff before where like people probably think that he's a full on Trump supporter. But he spends like 45 minutes making the face oranger, just like orange. I'm like.
Well, he's just trying to get it in and it just, what? Okay. He needs to be on the podcast.
He's an interesting character.
I feel like you're scared to have him on.
I know. Well, I'm not scared for me. I'm scared for you and everyone else.
I could take it.
I don't know. He's a character.
You're like, I don't know.
It's a lot. I have to like learn how to turn off. Like,
I'll just get drunk.
Yeah.
We'll just get him drunk too.
Yeah. He gets a little more mellow when he's high. Maybe like,
okay, we'll get him high. I'll get drunk. So that's like a balance.
We've talked about wanting to start like a podcast or a YouTube where we take, because we do edibles a lot on the weekends.
Yeah.
And we just are. I have so many recordings where I secretly record us. Our conversations are wild and so funny. And I feel like if you got him on some edibles and talked to him, he'd give you some shit. Wait, I'm really
down for this. Chris, come on the pod.
Okay, I'll
see. I think, you know what? No one's ever brought their boyfriends or significant others on the show. Like, I feel like they're all like getting to know all you guys. Mm-hmm. So it'd be so fun to see like your guys' significant other. Yeah. So we'll bring Chris on the pod.
Oh my God. I'm going to have to.
Everyone, please comment below. If I get, I'm not even asking for much. If I get 20 comments in my YouTube comments,
we'll bring saying, on.
Please bring Rachel's Chris on the pod. I will do it. We will show that to Chris.
My mouth will be sore, but we'll do it. Whatever I have to do.
Well, yeah, exactly. And so we'll be like, look, you're wanted. So yeah. I think that would like help his ego and be like, all right, fine. I could really do this.
That's what I'm saying. You give the man a platform. It's like that book where it's like you give a mouse a cookie or whatever.
Yeah.
Or you give a moose a pancake. You give that man a platform.
Broco Therapy is sponsored by BetterHelp. If you had an extra hour in your day, what would you do? Would you go for a run, take a nap, read a book, show up for a friend? A lot of us spend our lives wishing we had more time. The question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it? The best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important to you and make it a priority. Therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it. I mentioned before that I went back to therapy and that was the best decision I've ever made because every time I leave a session, I do feel like I just got so much off my chest. I've been suffering with so much anxiety because I feel like sometimes I don't have time. I don't have time to get all the stuff done, or I feel like I'm not worthy of doing a good job of the things that I have to do. And I know that stems from a lot of ADHD. So talking to my therapist, she really gives me the space to just vent and have those emotions. And she validates that and gives me the tool sets to be able to continue my day and to give me that confidence to remind myself that, like, I got this. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/brokegirl today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/brokegirl. He needs it.
Look out. But yeah, back to like the relationships, yeah. Sex versus hookup, it's totally different. You're maybe somewhat still in the like the zone. Beginning. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm kind of... sex is great, but I'm personally having kind of an issue on my end where, okay, so y'all know my life on the show, but behind the scenes of my life, I work a lot to the point where it's like unhealthy. And I'm a very sexual person if I have nothing to do, but like when I'm busy, I just, anyways.
Well, we have to be, it's so mental for us.
It's so mental. Yeah. And like, if I have like 1,000 things to do on my list in my head, sex is not on that list. No.
It's like, not even at the bottom.
No.
Yeah.
It's just not on there. Like, I'm like, I have to get all this stuff done. And I just get, like, really anxious. I have to get whatever. So we've been having sex. And he expressed to me that he's starting to feel not really noticed. Because I'll just, like, like, ride him, fuck the shit out of him, come, and then get off.
What a great time.
And then go check my emails or something, or like check my phone. Mm. And he's just like laying there with like a hard dick, like,
okay, my turn.
Thanks, Scott. Like, thank you. You know what I mean? And I'm just like, I mean, we've had a lot of amazing sex where it was like mutual, but lately I've just been like not being considerate. And this is just on me, not even him. This is really just my problem. So right now that's what we're going through, is like I'm trying to like not be so selfish in bed, but I think it's because I've been kind of like, you know, talking about like hookups versus relationship sex, like I've almost just like morphed myself to be this person where at first sex was about the man, so I never came, and I've talked about that on the show. Mm-hmm. And then I went to this like kind of power movement where I was like, I'm gonna learn how to get mine. And I did. I mastered getting an orgasm during sex. But I think that I've also just kind of subconsciously taught myself like it's about me and less about this person. Mm. And I'm so used to that like independence that I feel like I'm becoming like a selfish lover.
It kind of like backfired a little bit. Yeah. The feminism like backfired just a little bit.
Yeah. Because yeah. I'm just like, whatever, like he's fine. He could just like jack it off and he's fine in like a few minutes.
Yeah.
And it's just like, okay, yeah, he can. But then like, but now I'm in a relationship with this person. This isn't just like a random hookup or a random dick. Like this is the love of my life. Mm-hmm. So it not only does it just make him like obviously not completely satisfied in bed, but like, emotionally makes him feel like I don't give a fuck about him.
Yeah.
You know, or like, totally. I know that he knows I care, but like,
well, he's a Cancer too, right?
Yeah. He's a Cancer, but like, I'm not prioritizing him is how he feels. Like he just feels like
never make a Cancer feel unprioritized. Let me just tell you, we don't like it.
And I'm an Aquarius where I'm very independent, yep. Very adventurous, very like
me.
Mm-hmm. And you know,
well, also the Cancer thing, like we feel that way, we're also hypersensitive. So yeah. Like, there are probably even moments where, not to say that what he's feeling is invalid, because it's totally valid, however he feels about a situation. Mm-hmm. But there, for me, when I start to feel like certain types of way, I always have to kind of like clock, like, oh, am I being a little, like, I know he's not meaning to do X, Y, and Z, but I'm taking it this way. Like, at the end of the day, the spiritual lesson is like, nothing is ever about you. Right. Everything that anyone else does is about themselves. No matter if it's what they say to you, how they treat you, what they do to you, it's always about themselves. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, not to take it totally woo-woo, like astrology, but with Cancers, knowing that I'm like definitely more sensitive, and with that whole aspect, I have to remind myself, like, if I were him in this situation, I can see myself feeling that way. And then I'd have to clock myself of like, okay,
which he did.
We are in love.
Yeah, which
we're so in love. She's very busy right now. Right. Like, this isn't a normal occurrence. However, it's important to have a conversation for him to let you know how he feels.
Exactly. Like, I remember there was a specific day, like, it was a very busy day, and I could tell, like, he was just kind of, like, being in his feelings and shit. Like, and, you know, when, obviously, it's, like, your significant other, you could tell when they're in a mood. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, what's going on? He's like, no, it's fine, fine, it's fine. I don't want to talk about it. But I, like, was like, no. We're talking about it.
Yeah.
And like, he like vented to me, but like in a respectful way, you know, like it was just like, it was more of a conversation versus like a fight or like being like, you. It's just like, this is how I feel. This is what this is making me feel. And I was just like, oh shit. Like, it was like this reality check that I was like, okay, I'm not being the type of girlfriend that I should be, you know? And granted, like, we are busy, whatever, yada, yada. But I think it also kind of made me reflect on, like, my trauma and, like, how I go about sex. Because my, you know, relationship with sex has been very, like, up and down, you know. And especially starting off, like, oh, like, I'm just here to please the man and not realizing my power in it. And then really gaining that power and being, like, that voice of, like, just get your fucking nut, bitches. And then... And then now that being like, oh shit, wait, there's like a balance when it comes to relationship, and like trying to like, and not even just with sex, but like just trying to learn how to incorporate someone else's feelings into this, or incorporate him into my time. You know what I mean? Like trying to not be so independent and be like, wait, I'm sharing this life with someone. So I got to like learn how to.
So you know what it sounds like to me? You're hitting the phase, the schedule phase. It comes like you will go through what I believe the whole path of like meeting, having somewhat of hookup sex when you first start meeting. Right. Then it goes into like honeymoon phase and you're like, I want to do it all the time. And
like, we were like, we did like 7 times in a day. Like we were fucking. And now I'm like.
You go, and now you get to a place where you're noticing you're spending a lot of time together. You're extremely intimately and emotionally attached, and it's time to make a schedule. Put it on the fridge, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, or the weekends. Like, that's kind of what we've
like
come
marriage.
To.
It's like not even, it's like barely the first year. Like, we haven't even finished the first year yet.
We, like, started it not so early. I think, like, a year and a half or maybe 2 years in was when we were like,
we started scheduling.
We're like, okay we'll smart. Do this. We never do it after we eat dinner because it will never happen.
We love to do it in the mornings.
We don't really do it in the mornings,
but it's
we're
also
too tired.
Like, but he just, I don't know. I get horny in the morning. He get real horny in the morning. I don't know. The mornings I feel skinnier. I don't know.
Anyways, totally. Yeah. Totally.
But it's also like weird because I think, you know, having a roommate, Vincent's like, right. Like our walls are very like paper thin. So I'm like, I don't want to hear me have sex.
Yeah.
I don't know why. Like, I don't know. It's like, I don't know. Well, I feel like some people usually don't give a fuck, but I'm just like, I really don't want anyone to hear me.
Well, we share.
Which is odd because I like talk so openly about it, but like to actually hear me do it.
It's different. Well, we share a wall with a baby. So.
Oh, because like the apartment
next door and the walls are thin. So it's kind of put a little bit of like a thing in it too of like, cause I'm the same way. Cause one time, I don't know if it was, these people kind of recently moved in. I don't know if it was them or if it was the people before, but one time someone knocked while we were doing it and both of us immediately went into like zombie mode of like, we just both sat there and almost to tears, both of us. Cause it was a very vulnerable thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
We were both extremely vulnerable, like really embarrassed. And also thinking about like, we're both very considerate. Like he's a very polite person.
Right.
He's very offensive, but extremely polite.
Right.
And so both of us don't really like to like inconvenience anyone else.
Yeah. That's how I feel too.
Yeah. We're very like hyper aware of how we're affecting other people.
Right.
And him, not so much when it comes to me, but with like strangers, right. Yes, he's considerate. So we both just kind of like clammed up and that was like a few months.
They knocked on like the
on the wall and it just kind of ruined everything. So now we're all,
you're just like sitting there like,
yeah,
what the fuck? I'd be so nervous.
Taking a lot of fun out of it. We're very nervous. We're very like, you know, it's a vulnerable thing. And for someone to kind of call you out, I'm like, I've heard so many of my neighbors have sex. I've heard someone fall during sex. Like, hilarious. Wait, yes, I heard them having sex. And then I heard a thud. And then they were like, oh my God, are you okay? Like, it was a whole thing. And I was like, this is the funniest thing ever. Yeah. It woke me up, but I'm not going to ruin it for them. Exactly. It's an apartment building and you're living in your home.
Right.
It's LA people. Like, we are all on top of each other.
Right.
No pun intended.
No pun intended.
But
yeah.
Yeah. So that was really uncomfortable for us to like go through.
That's
that.
That's so uncomfortable. I remember one time I was hooking up with Davion, who hasn't been on the show, but like, I remember it was at his apartment building and we were having sex, whatever. And then he told me that the next day someone told him like, put a sock in it. And I was like, first off,
doesn't it make you feel like seen in a
way? Yeah,
you're just kind of like,
I don't like that.
I feel
like people like kind of thrive on it though, but like,
it's for some people, sure. But
like, I am just like, exactly. So if Vincent's home, Vincent's my roommate, who always does my hair, but if he's home, I'm like, okay, let me just silently ride the dick very slowly, or like, you know, or like, I just don't feel like I could fully like,
let myself go
because I'm like, I don't want him to hear me.
Well, and it's like respect for them too.
Yeah.
It's, yeah. Yeah. I know. So
I wouldn't want to wake up to hearing him like doing it. You know, I'd be like, please no, this is so disturbing.
Well, and what sucks is we live together and like, we don't have any other roommates to worry about, but like,
you have your neighbors,
the wall. So we're like, I guess we'll do it everywhere else.
Right. But,
which is still fun too.
Right. Right.
But yeah, definitely you might be hitting that schedule phase because it saves it. You were both considerate of each other's time.
Yeah.
You kind of sit down at the beginning of the week and you're like, oh, this day is going to be busy, or you plan it and then it doesn't happen and
yeah,
you plan it again and I think it doesn't happen. Do that.
We're also like in a long distance relationship too, so it's also like
very different.
That pressure of like when we are together being like,
make the most of it,
you know, and like sometimes I just can't.
Yeah.
You know, and like I just, or sometimes I'm just, I don't know. I just feel like he's just horny all the time.
That is not a bad thing.
Which has been amazing because I'm just like, I've always wanted a guy that could just get it up. You know what I mean? And I don't have to worry about that. Mm-hmm. Or when they're too tired. Like, even when he's tired, he's like, all right. And I'm just like, what?
That's amazing.
Yeah, which is great. But then I'm just like, you know, I'm actually not like that.
Yeah.
Like, if I'm tired, like, I'm not in the mood. And I could be like, I could have like a day where I'll fuck all the time, like I'll fuck a lot that day, and then I'm like good,
yeah,
for like 2 weeks, like a week.
Honestly, I could go a few weeks too. I think mine, especially if this goes a little.
How many times do you guys have sex in a week?
Do you want the real answer? The answer Chris probably wants me to give.
Both.
We probably like once or twice.
Oh, okay.
But at the beginning, it was much more. Right, and right. Also, my sex drive used to be much higher. But this goes into more of like a personal aspect, which affects everything. But I definitely suffer from anxiety and depression. And sometimes that takes me out for weeks. Like, I just, it's like nowhere to be found.
Right.
And
right.
I didn't have that in my hoe, like when I was single, which was
because
weird.
In your hoe phase, it was like,
well, that's what you search for. And that was my medicine was right. attention from a stranger who right. chose me out of the hundreds of girls at a bar right. or something, or like, you know, another booty call or
right. a yeah. Cause it's like, you don't know when you're going to get it next. So yeah, might as well, like,
it
yeah.
was a short term cure to that.
Yeah. And that's why I thought I could just like fuck all the time. And now in a relationship.
You're faced with it because now you're with someone who truly cares about you. You can't really I used to hide the fact that right. I struggled with this because I have a thing with OCD and perfectionism too right. where I don't want to be seen as that. And so I never really told my parents. I also never knew what to label it. So right. I never really even knew I was going through it until I started like looking into it. And then a few days where I was just like, this is not normal. Like I'm so out of it and right. sad for zero reason, right. but like having scary thoughts kind of thing. So then I realized it, didn't tell anyone. Kind of, I didn't purposely keep it from Chris, but I didn't advertise it.
Right.
And he was the one who truly pushed me to like get better and just be aware of it and like feel seen.
Like,
it.
Do you start kind of like pushing him away when you start getting into like those yeah, moments?
Totally. Yeah. Because there's also part of my personality, which they claim cancers are this way too, of like having a shell and wanting to be in it. So like,
yeah, Chris, like definitely. And when he comes on the show, I'll let him like speak more about it, but he definitely has those struggles mm-hmm. and like has those moments and he'll still fuck on it even though, but he still like has his moments where I'm like, oh, okay. Like you need your space right now.
Yeah. Totally. I mean, I like to think I'm like mostly extrovert, 30% introvert. Mm. But when I am in a dark place or in my introverted like personality side, even without the dark place, like I need the space. I need to be alone. I have We have a two bed, two bath, and I love the bathroom because I can like go in it and it's like yeah. my safe space sometimes where it's just me. No one can like come in. I'll sit in the shower. Right. Like it's my little, I'm sure your boyfriend has something like similar because mm-hmm. it makes you feel a little bit safe. And like, you don't have to share that part of what you're going through with someone else.
And what does Chris do to like help you during that moment? Cause sometimes I feel like, I love that this episode has range, but like
total range,
sometimes I struggle as like the girlfriend of being like, okay, I know you're in this moment. I'm going to give you space. But sometimes like, I don't know if that's what is enough.
So this is interesting because we went through a lot of tough love where I felt judged. I felt like I was being seen as not perfect. I felt like I was seen as not good enough. Chris has his own trauma and he has his own past and he has his own shit that he's gone through. And a lot of what I have and go through kind of triggers things in him that he's gone through, which he's completely valid in having and experiencing and feeling. But when two traumas hit each other, it's fucking impossible to communicate because you're yeah. like, this isn't about you. And then he's like, but it is, you know, there right. is a part of it that's about me. So when we hit like almost a year, we had almost a breaking point because we were hitting this head of like, okay, we can't ignore these things anymore. Right. And for him, it was making him really sad to see.
It makes me sad. Sometimes I cry.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I don't like to
you see love you that in person.
Space. Yeah.
And I don't see the other side of it, how he saw it from me. So for me, I'm like, but this is about what I'm going through. Like,
right.
And I never really thought about how it's affecting him. And like, from a lover's point of view, from someone who just wants to see you happy and healthy.
Right.
And so there was like a few really hard months of me having to come to terms with where we were at, and not that it was like a selfish thing on his part of like, I just don't want you to have this. It was like, makes me really sad to see you this way.
Right.
On top of it kind of triggering trauma I have from my past. Right. So after that, we came to like a breaking point and I was like, you know what? I'll just try it. I'll get healthy. That's when I started going to yoga. That's when I started eating better. I was definitely at my heaviest at that point because I was not taking care of myself. that's food was my like coping mechanism. Right. I would sit in a bathroom or a closet and I would binge.
Really?
I haven't really like talked about that much, but I would sit in my car. I'd go to Vons and buy these donuts. I'd sit in my car and eat an entire box. And I did that like regularly. And I wouldn't tell, it was in secret. I wouldn't tell anyone.
Right.
And when you're with someone intimately and sharing a space together, you can't really hide that. You can't hide,
like, stuff like that, yeah.
No, so he sees that, and it's concerning for my health as well. Right. So I did the white flag of, like, you know what? I'm overfighting about it. I'll try. And I was consistent with eating better, meditating, journaling, and, like, I did start, end up going to therapy months later, but I didn't start with it. But I got really ingratiated in yoga and like Bikram, and it changed my life. I did it for 6 months consistently.
Yeah, I remember you like got super like fit.
Well, I lost a lot of weight, which was kind of a goal for sure, right. But it was almost a side effect. Right. Like I knew I was at my heaviest. I knew I needed to get in shape, but I was never looking to be like fit, strong.
Right.
It was mostly to fix my mind. And I was the healthiest I've ever been. And I will say since COVID and not having those outlets, I've seen myself, I'm better at it. I can recognize it now. And I have gone to therapy and I'm more open with accepting what I go through. But having...
That's crazy. You are so similar to my boyfriend because he was off, obviously been dealing with like, I feel bad that I'm talking about his life. He'll explain more. But like in a way that he was struggling with like the same thing. And so he decided to just get into like to working out and to like a routine of things just to like make his mind feel so much better. And he actually lost like 100 pounds.
Yeah. That's amazing. It's like the side effect of it.
Yeah.
Totally for a woman, for me at least, like it was a little bit of a driving force. You know, I was like, okay, I'll get into shape. Maybe that will help. But then once I started going through it and I was like, I am happy all the time. Not all the time. There's whatever.
Yeah.
But for the most part, I'm generally really happy and I don't feel this fog ever. I would still get anxious from time to time because I think most humans struggle with it and they just don't know how to like.
With my anxiety, I think I just like overwork myself.
Mm-hmm.
So like I just like that's kind of like I feel like how I deal with like my but then I kind of went through like I was telling you earlier I went through like a breakdown where I was like I'm tired.
Yeah.
You know, and I was like, oh wait, I think I do this because it stems from, you know, a lot of things, but another episode for that. But yeah, definitely I think we all have like our ways of
coping
mm-hmm. for sure.
Stress. Sometimes people can handle it better than others and that's really what it is at the end of the day. I've never been diagnosed. I've never seen a doctor. Mm-hmm. I just have done a lot of my own like personal research. Right. And from experience, Chris can tell you like the shit when I'm dark, it's dark. But all you can do is be aware. And the awareness, I would have never gotten there without him. So my whole reason to even open up to you about this is like kind of to help you with your position. Mm. I've had friends come and talk to me about this because they were dating someone similar to what I went through as well.
Yeah.
And were like, what did he do to help you? Because I want to help them.
Yeah. Cause I do like, I definitely give him space, but I also kind of give him that tough love. And then I also give him just like the whole, like, I'm really here for you, you know?
At the end of the day, the only thing I truly can give actual advice on, because it was from my point of view, is he's going to have to want to do it for himself and only for himself.
Sure. For sure.
I started to say, I gave in because I was like, fucking, I don't want to fight anymore. Like, right. I'll give in. Like, I'll do what you want. But a week later, I was like, no, this feels good. This is what I want. And like, Chris started going to the gym with me every day. And then, of course, he had a horrible job that like, he just didn't have time for it. And I went on my own. And it became my thing. I did the yoga thing. It was my time for myself. I would go with friends here and there. And Chris came to like a few classes. Yeah. But it was me. It was purely for me. And I could have never finished it without that driving force. So like when you can always be supportive and you can always give him a little tough love. But you also have to accept that you will never be the reason that he exactly. like
he's got to be his own reason.
He has to, yeah, for which sure.
I know that he's always working on himself, so I'm not yeah. like, worried. He's on that journey, but I'll let him speak on
most
it.
People from my experience have it in them and want it. You know what I mean? Like if you're truly going through depression, anxiety, when you're not in that dark place, you're like, I will do anything to not go back there. Cause it's debilitating. Like yeah. you can't do much. So
exactly.
Yeah. Tough love and just support.
So just started from like, I want to see my boyfriend fuck someone too. To like, I want him to,
to I want to have casual sex again too. Let's talk deep.
You know, to like, I want to be there for him mentally. Yeah, it's a lot. It's
actually, that range. Was a beautiful
that was
range.
That was a beautiful
and it
range.
Was very natural as well.
Yeah, we didn't plan that.
We didn't plan it.
We're like, let's talk about losing your identity. It's not, I don't know. We were just kind of like, I don't know.
No, that was perfect.
That was so good. We aww. Love it. We love to see it.
We love to see it. Anyways, we love a Chris.
We love a Chris. Yeah. Any last words?
I don't think so. Just
love yourself.
Love yourself. Be open to experiences and live your gosh damn best life.
Yes. All right. Plug yourself, bitch.
All right. It's difficult, but
I'm like sleepy.
I know.
You're like just like excited, like felt it. I was like,
it's time to go to sleep.
Time to go to bed. I'm not gonna like clean this until tomorrow, TBH.
Absolutely not. I'm rolling straight into bed. Yeah. Okay, plugging myself. It's RA. No, it's not. It's so hard.
I'll put in the description. Link below.
It. Yeah.
Yeah. We'll link it.
Put in the link. Put in the Dropbox.
Yeah. And then follow me, Stephanie Megan, or go to brocotherapy.com. All that shit is there, including the merch, bitch. So go get your t-shirts.
Get them.
And shorts.
Wear them.
Okay. All right. Bye.
Bye.
Broke girl therapy. 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 Broke girl therapy.
Hello, dear stranger. I'd like to introduce you to something new. Or perhaps something very... very old. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine is a horror fantasy medical mystery following the titular monk turned traveling medical investigator. Follow Radolf as he navigates a nightmare world in which viruses are gods and the human race are not their favored children. Steeped in history and an aesthetic that can only be described as a combination of occult academia and laboratory Judaica, The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine have been described as Umberto Eco meets H.P. Lovecraft. For more information, check out the Patreon at thorb.info. But take care, dear stranger, for some truths are best left unknown.